This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Are the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7
Yeah, let's do this. I'm excited about today, man. I am excited about today. This is one of those days, and I hope to feel like this every day. Dude, we can do 8 hours. We can do 8 hours today.
Easy.
Don't worry, each team. Don't worry, we're not gonna. But we could, because in addition to the Warriors getting another win, Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green talking about Jonathan Kuminga and then Steve Kerr talking about him in a very different way. Kevin Durant goes on Draymond Green's podcast, okay, and talks about an offseason trade, maybe to the Warriors. All of this is sitting there, and then right before we get going today, here comes John Lynch to the podium.
John Lynch.
Yeah. To the podium to get everybody all stirred up about a bunch of other stuff. So, like we just mentioned, 10 minutes from now, if you have not heard any of the key things that John Lynch said, we will have all of it for you uninterrupted so that you can start to make your own decisions, gather your thoughts, and then weigh in with us at 888-957-9570. And then, as we said, Andrew Bogut is 55 minutes away. He was not able to come out and celebrate with the 2015 team last night, but we'll do it over the phone coming up at 3:15. So, what stood out to you about the John Lynch comments?
Well, two things mainly. One, Debo's gone. No matter what, he's gone. Trade or cut. And yesterday I was kind of making the analogy of it's trade, cut, or pay. And I guess pay would be a restructure. Well, they're not going to do that. So either they find somebody to give them a sixth or a seventh or maybe a conditional fifth. Debo is going to be gone. Before we get to the end of March, before we get to mid-March, before I go on my trip to Vegas for March Madness, which is, I believe, 3 weeks from today.
I love this time of year where you start, you reference it every day because you're counting the minutes.
We have a thread with my boys and I. Last year we had 10 of us there. And so now the 10 of us have a thread. And I started the countdown when we got halfway through the year. And I said, just so you know, we're at 182 days and counting. We're already closer than we are further away. So before I leave, which is actually 3 weeks from tomorrow. Today's Wednesday, and except for Andrew Bogut, it's Thursday. So
correct.
3 weeks from tomorrow, I'm gone. Before I leave, he'll be gone. He'll leave before I leave. And the other piece is this Brock Purdy, we want him, we're going to pay him, cookie cutter, let's get it done. It's going to be a little bit tougher than I thought. It's not going to be as simple as, Brock, what do you think? Okay, we'll do it.
Well,
I think it's going to be a little bit more sticky and a little bit tougher based on what John said.
Okay, and we're going to play it again here in a second, and then again, we'll get to all of it here in about 8 minutes. But just because you referenced it, let's let everybody hear it. And then, first of all, everybody pray together. Are you a big believer in prayer? I want everybody to say, come on, touchscreen sound thingamajig. Let's make sure that we work this time.
We have started negotiations. We're talking. I won't go into negotiations, like always is our stance. I want Brock to be our quarterback as long as we're here and beyond, and we'll leave it at that. I think the final thing, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so, and we've been able to do that.
Okay, so your thought...
That last piece.
Well, but your thought is a little bit more specific to Brock. Who knows, maybe you're right. My thought is a little broader. I don't think it's about Brock. I think it's just about contract negotiations in general.
Yeah.
I think John threw that in there because the 49ers do not want to be known as, you know, like those cartoons where, like, when the cement mixer's coming flying down the street and there's always, like, Goofy or somebody just gets completely sandwiched in the cartoons. Oh. You're allowed to live through that. Like, that's the 49ers the last couple of summers when it comes to big-time contract negotiations, and I know this for a fact. Ooh, they do not like that. And I'm not saying they're doing it for social media or for the fan base, but they do not like the concept that the Niners, well, we're just here to just give everybody what they want. What do you need, Nick? Oh, 30's not enough? You want 34? Okay. Oh, Brandon, you don't like 27? How about 28? No? 30? You got it. They hate that. They hate that. And the concept is very much out there that the Niners have gotten their butts kicked in contract negotiations the last couple summers. So I really think they want it to be known, just because Brock is a good quarterback and quarterback money is huge, that does not mean we're here with a blank check. I think that's why you heard that comment there at the end.
I get it, but when you look at, you know, who they have been, and you look position by position, how many positions is the highest paid player at that position a 49er? And you start to go through it, and it is Nick Bosa. At the time, I'm not sure if he's been usurped.
Still, he's actually still the highest paid defensive player in the game.
You've got Christian McCaffrey, highest paid running back.
Deserved.
Kyle Juszczyk, highest paid fullback.
Still true?
Yeah, I believe
so. Took the pay cut.
There's only a couple of fullbacks.
Yeah, there's only four of them.
In football, but you know, you start to go through and you look at all the positions. Tight end, George Kittle is, if not number one,
up there.
He's really high on the list. And so as you start to pick your way through it, they've been the team to give out the big bucket, the big bag to all these guys. And now your quarterback is up, and normally the quarterback resets the market. We know that's how it goes. If you have a quarterback you want to keep, that's what you do. But what I'm hearing from John right there was like, there's no guarantee. The idea that he used the phrase, no guarantee,
no guarantee,
tells me that they're not ready to go $63.5 million per year. Here you go.
We're not just here for your bank account. We're here to run a business and win football games.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. If you've missed any of what John Lynch said today, getting ready for the combine, my goodness, you're going to need more than 10 fingers to count up the interesting things that he said. And we'll play all of it for you immediately coming up next, before we then get a chance to all react to it together. It's a Warriors Wednesday as well, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Come on! To Willard and Dibbs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
See, red meat won't kill you now. Nope. I mean, maybe. I think it might heal you, too. It might let you get $34 million a year. Who knows?
Yeah, who that'd knows? Be awesome.
Wagyu. 888.
Like me.
No. Wagyu.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
888-957-9570. You're going to want that number because we would love to hear from you, to take your phone calls on what stands out to you and how you translate everything that John Lynch said today when he met the media in preparation for the combine. And if you don't know what he said, we're here for you. This is all of the good, juicy, meaty stuff, all put together. Everything that John addressed, from Brock Purdy to Deebo Samuel to Dre Greenlaw to Trent Williams and more. So sit back, relax, listen to all of this. It's really, really good stuff about the 49er offseason. And it starts out with John addressing his quarterback.
We have started negotiations. We're talking. I won't go into negotiations like always is our stance. I want Brock to be our quarterback as long as we're here and beyond, and we'll leave it at that. I think the final thing, there's no guarantees that we get something done, but my experience has been when both sides are motivated, there's ample opportunity to do so, and we've been able to do that. So,
have you talked to Trent Williams recently, and is he definitely playing football this season?
Trent's playing, and he's ready. I think he's really motivated to come back, and, you know, when you're that's rarefied air that Trent lives in, and when you're a player that has experience playing at those heights, you don't want to play unless you're playing at that level. And I think that's where Trent's at, and I think we're going to see a real motivated Trent Williams to come back and have a great year, and that's a good thing for us.
How's Christian McCaffrey doing for the most?
He's doing great. Yeah, Christian's doing really well, and you know, I think was real frustrated with the way last season went, and doing everything in his possible as he did in preparation for last year. And we're hoping CMC's out there going to have a tremendous year. If he's healthy, he will have a tremendous year. That's just what he does.
Is the expectation that he'll be ready for the offseason program?
You know, I think so. I think at least parts of it. You know, we'll be judicious and follow, you know, the medical folks' advice on that. But Christian's, you know, he's done a great job doing the rehab. He's tireless. If anything, you always gotta say whoa to Christian. And as my friend Mike Tomlin, it's a lot better to have to say whoa than it is to say sick. So Christian is a whoa guy, and because he's gonna do everything possible to give himself a chance.
Is there a health update on Brandon Ayuk? There was also a report from the combine that teams are poking around, interested in trading for him. Is there any interest?
Yeah, that typically happens with really good players. I remember, I think, 2 years ago, you know, having similar conversations. You get calls, and you always listen to calls. And, you know, we're, you know, I think since Kyle and I've been here, we've been, you know, certainly a top five, I believe, number two cash spending team. You know, in the last 5 years, I think we're 4 years. Going into the fourth year, I think we're the fourth highest cash spending team. So we're at some point you have to reset a little bit, or at least recalibrate. You can't just keep pressing the pedal. And I think there's some good that could come out of it. We need to get younger. You know, I think we're the oldest team in football, trying to make a run at the deal last year. And I think it's good to constantly get younger. Our draft class last year was a great move towards that. We'll have four picks in the top 100. If the comp picks happen like we see it, that's always a calculation. You know, we'll have 10 picks overall, and we're excited about adding more youth to a great core of players that we already have.
We asked you about Deebo last month, and you said you're not interested in moving on from a good player. Since then, he's requested a trade. Yeah. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, you know, still not interested, Grant, but along those lines of the financial constraints and some conversations we've had with Deebo, it's something, you know, we've been forthright with that. We're on good terms with Deebo. I think, you know, he's asked for a fresh start, and you know, I think we're going to honor that. Don't like seeing great players, and he is a great player. He's you know, I think often one of my favorite draft picks of my time. This guy's just he makes plays, and he makes game-changing plays, and you know, everything's good, you know, but like at some point time happens, and he asked for that. We don't always, you know, there's contracts and things, but you know, it probably makes sense, so we're at least allowing him to look, and we're having conversations. We'll see where that goes.
Is this the week that you expect to start getting maybe a little bit more clarity on Greenlaw, Hufanga, just through conversations as to whether or not you might be able to bring them back?
Yeah, those guys are fantastic players. Of course we have interest in bringing them back, and you know,
we'll work our tails off to try to make that happen. Whether it does, can't tell you that, but I think in the near future here, you know, things are kicking off. So, yeah, you know, we've been in contact with them and their representatives. We'll continue to be.
What's the challenging part of a situation like Debo's, where it's a good player who requests a trade? What's the most challenging aspect of a situation like that?
Love, you know, there's a lot of love there. There's a lot of respect there. There's a lot of shared experiences. So to let that go, that's difficult. But like I said, time happens, and if it makes sense for both sides, you at least give it a chance. And so that's where we're at.
Did he explain why he wanted a fresh start?
Yeah, but I'm not. Those are personal conversations, and like I said, everybody's on good terms. And, you know, hopefully we find a great place. Then we'll have to make a decision if we don't. But there's, like I could say, there's been a lot of interest around the league.
Is there a scenario where he actually does come back?
There's always a scenario. I've learned that as well. Yeah.
You mentioned the possibility of bringing back Javon Hargrave. Is that still a possibility in your eyes? And do you view it as a capital priority this offseason?
It is, but I would tell you, I think that the D-tackle market's going to be, those guys, it's a premium position, and they typically do well. And even Javon, who's coming off the tricep, you know, I think he's well on his way to being healthy, and I think it'd be a robust market, but we'll see. And we've had good discussions with Javon. You know, when we kind of talked about the transaction we were going to make, that yeah, we'd be interested in a scenario where he comes back, and hopefully we can be involved in that. We'll see.
Hey, John, you mentioned prospects that are good players, but maybe have more developmental upside versus impact prospect coming in right away. With the quarterback potentially having a big number going forward, does that kind of influence how you see those two and which you might lean more toward?
One more time around that question.
Yeah, like, you know, you mentioned the players that are good players but have more developmental upside.
Yes.
Versus impact players that you might draft.
Yeah.
What about having a big number? Does that maybe influence, you know, how you see that, which way you go more because of that?
Yeah, you know, the one thing I've learned in this deal is everything is tied to everything, particularly when you're talking about a position like the quarterback position and the effect it has on your entire team. Now, they can lift your entire team, but it can affect your entire team, and you know, we'll see where that goes, but you know, our intention is to have a really good team around him, whatever that entails, but it does have an impact, to say the least.
All right, so there's John Lynch getting ready for the combine with comments that span from Brock Purdy to Debo Samuel to Christian McCaffrey to Trent Williams to the defensive tackle market to the openness and willingness to still talk about Javon Hargrave and others who are actually free agents, Talanoa Hufanga and beyond, but then circles back to the quarterback situation because obviously that's the linchpin around which everything is going to sort of orbit. So 888-957-9570 is the number on anything that kind of stands out to you. But to me, when you have a press conference like this, and we know how these things work, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, or anyone's going to sit down with a small group of PR people with the 49ers and be like, okay, A, what are the things we want to address? B, what are the things I'm likely going to be asked? And then C, how do we want to answer those things? And then D, is there anything that's kind of out of left field that I should know about? That's kind of the discussion that happens before these. So this is a coordinated message. And to me, the message that the 49ers want to strike is, we are not going to let our players push us around. That's the message that I got.
A big part of it, and the things I wrote down were that, and also he said that they're the oldest team in football.
Yep.
And I don't know if that is absolutely the fact, but the idea that they're an old team, and you look at how many guys they have in their early 30s, they got some mid-30s as well. You're the oldest team in football, which tells me, what I heard him say is, we have to get younger. And Debo's a guy coming up on 30, and if you have a young receiver that you can draft in the third or fourth round who's 22, well, you get younger, and Pearsall is younger, and Cowing is younger, and Juwan Jennings is younger, and Ayuk is younger. So I was hearing that and thinking about that fact in terms of a lot of different positions. And the other one was Javon Hargrave, where, you know, they did what they did contractually. They let him go, and I think that the team is kind of hoping that they can get him back for a super, super discounted rate. But like he said, the D-tackle market's going to be very competitive. And, you know, there aren't a lot of those really good proven players out there. So that's another one where you're looking to get younger. And by younger, it also means cheaper.
Well, it's interesting because, like, the question I would throw out to everybody is, how cutthroat do you want the 49ers to play this offseason? The interesting thing is, last year, I would argue that most of us did not want the 49ers to be very cutthroat. Nobody wanted that. And the reason for that was because they were a breath away from winning the Super Bowl. And so when you're a breath away from winning the Super Bowl, the fan base's thought is, dude, we're right there. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. So Brandon Ayuk ends up in a perfect position to where he's like, we're negotiating. And everyone's like, well, we can't lose Brandon Ayuk. And the Niners are like, yeah, we kind of agree. We also think these negotiations are kind of BS, the way that Brandon's handling it. And then it becomes this whole thing. And then Trent jumps in. There was a little Christian McCaffrey at the beginning as well. And all of a sudden, everybody's getting paid. And then the worst possible thing happens, which is just about everybody who got paid, they all got hurt. Some of them really, really bad, to the point where they could never come back. Or they came back and then had to leave again, in the case of Christian McCaffrey. And so I think the Niners came out of last offseason very scarred by their experience. But what that sets up now is a very fine line that they need to walk. And that's what I would ask our 49er fan listeners. How cutthroat do you want them to play this offseason? Whether it is with Brock Purdy, Deebo Samuel, or anybody who's on the way in, or Hargrave, anyone else who's on the way out, Dre Greenlaw, etc. Because now the fan base is in this mood where it's like, yeah, make moves. Get Deebo out of here. Let's go get younger. I want the 49ers to run their team. I want them to be in charge. I don't want them to lose all of their negotiations. This is me speaking as a fan. At the same time, though, if that's your message and that's your effort, you are running a risk because now you're negotiating with the most important position in sports. And if that bleeds all summer long, well, you're going to end up in a really bad spot again.
Yeah, because you need your quarterback to be there with your young receivers. If Deebo gets dealt with, if he gets traded or cut before March 21st, then okay, that's like 90, I would put that at a 98% certainty that that's the way it goes with Deebo. And it's been a great run. Debo's had a lot of great moments and all the rest of it, but I do think that they're going to move off of Deebo. So assuming that, and you look at your receiver core, now you've got Juwan Jennings. You don't have Brandon Ayuk yet because he's not going to be there for off-season workouts. You've got Cowing and Pearsall and not a lot else. And so do you want your quarterback to be there with two guys entering their second year and Juwan Jennings, who's going to have to step forward and really carry a big load early on? Absolutely. So for me, if you want to go into the offseason, this is different than Brandon Ayuk. You wanted Brandon done before he got done, but with the quarterback, you need to have this thing done a lot sooner. That way he can feel whole and he can go out there with his receivers and they can start to get some continuity and some chemistry.
No doubt. Well, and that's also, I think, why you're hearing John Lynch talk about we got to get younger. There's two reasons behind that. One of it, and it's where the mind goes, I think, when he first says that, is, well, yeah, you got to get younger because you got beat up by injuries. And you know, some of these players are, now they're on the downside, they're not producing as well. But the other reason to go younger is financial and power. Like, that's the other reason I think the 49ers would like to get younger, because younger is cheaper and younger is easier to control. Like, let's be real. The 49ers went to the Super Bowl, and they came out of it with a loss and a bunch of players who thought they had the whole damn world in their hands. And a lot of them were right. You know, Nick Bosa did before they went to the Super Bowl, but they came out of the Super Bowl and they were the big talk. Like, they lost, but it was almost like they won because the whole world's like, well, that's the best team. And now they're going to run it back. Okay, let's run it back. Well, Christian's like, I'm going to get mine. And Trent's like, I'm going to get mine. And Brandon's over here with a big neon sign. I'm definitely going to get mine. And the 49ers are looking at this going, okay, yeah, we want to keep this together, but man, like, how are we supposed to keep everybody happy here? And I think that they made some poor decisions last year. because they did try to keep everybody happy, and it didn't make everybody happy. And first and foremost, it ended up all blowing up in their face and leading to a 6-11 season.
Yes, but I don't think that the contracts completely led to the 6-11.
No, not on its own.
Ayuk came out slow. He was starting to actually play pretty well. He had one good game, and he got hurt.
Yeah,
I do think that he was trending in the right direction, and then he tore up his ACL. McCaffrey was a guy who started slow because of the calf, and then he got hurt. Trent had personal tragedy, as did Mooney Ward. Those are things that you can't really control. Greenlaw wasn't ready until it was probably too late. So there were things that were not contractually based that were problems. But to your point, I look at this year in the offseason, and you have the Debo thing to address, and it looks like they're going to move off of Debo. You got Brock Purdy, and you definitely want to sign him for how much and for how long and how soon. But there are other ones out there, and I'm looking at George Kittle, who's now 31 and a half, and he's in the final year of his deal. So to your point about fans and hardball, how hard do you want the Niners to be with a player like George Kittle who, look, George Kittle's amazing. He's a top 3-2-1 tight end in football, but he is 31. So do you want to give him a four-year deal? Because he's got one more year.
Yeah, I don't think
that. Do you want to give him,
but,
like, but what do you want to do with George Kittle? That, to me.
Extend him, but not 4 years.
Right, but that is kind of what you're talking about with, like, you know, hardball, or, you know, what do you want the Niners to do with your favorite guys?
I think, well, but maybe favorite guys isn't what we're talking about, because you can extend George Kittle and probably do some things in other spots. Like, I would rather the 49ers, if you want to play hardball, do it with the people who didn't play great last year. George Kittle's the last guy on my list.
Right.
He was phenomenal. He might have been their best player last year. So John Lynch did talk about it. He said, we are very motivated, as is George, for him to retire as a 49er. Like, Kittle is getting sort of near Draymondville, where it's like,
$100 million.
Well, but he's getting near that spot where you're like, is he going to finish his career here? Or, like, is that not going to work out? Like, what does he want? Is there value to keeping him even when he starts to go downhill a little bit? These questions are going to start coming up. For me, George is still playing at a very high level. Heart and soul guy. Kind of the logo of the franchise right now. I think he's important for Brock Purdy. They seem to work really well together, both as far as a pass catcher and just emotionally. I think all that stuff's important. I'd like to see them extend George Kittle, not for a long period of time, but extend him, yes. John Lynch also said, though, he goes, right now that's just a timing thing, because as we said in the crossover, this team's got a big old to-do list. And extending George Kittle right now is not one of the top five things on the list.
It's not. It's Debo, it's Brock, and then I think it's
personnel, like acquisitions, right?
Sure, free agency.
Yes.
And that all is going to happen. And if you want to look at their free agent list right now, and we've done this before, but there's a lot of guys, I think, that are question marks, like Talanoa Hufanga is a player who's been great. He's also been a little bit less than great. Do you want to give him, you know, an extension? And his average annual was not great. The value of his contract was only 3.7. I think that his number goes up, but how much do you want to pay for Hufanga when you've drafted guys who maybe can replace him? Jordan Mason is a guy who you'd like to keep as your backup.
He's restricted.
He's restricted, and I know that there's a whole thing about the tender and where you put it, and it's a lot of legalese mumbo-jumbo. For me, the conversation is, do you want him or don't you want him? And the other one is Dre Greenlaw. And, you know, if another team wants to give Greenlaw $6 million a year, are you willing to match that, to keep Dre around? Like, I do think that there are questions with those three players beyond it's Brock and Debo, and then it's what do you do in free agency, but also your own free agents. Aaron Banks is a free agent, a guy who's been, he's been pretty good for you at guard, and he's probably your third best offensive lineman. How much do you want to completely overhaul your O-line? So I do think that they have in-house decisions to make before they start going out there and looking for free agents.
Let's go to the phones. Daniel in the city is with us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Daniel, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Appreciate you. Listen every day.
Thanks, man.
Bottom line, I'm fourth gen San Francisco, right? I think there's a lot of listeners on the call, on the radio right now, who don't even, have never seen the Niners win a Super Bowl, right? And the reality is that after last year's game when we lost, what really infuriated me and a lot of people was that the entire conversation was how we're going to re-sign Ayuk and how we're going to deal with this drama, this and this. I never heard one person get up in the offseason and talk about how we're going to go back to the Super Bowl and win, right? And I think a lot of us were anxious. We wanted to hang on to what we had. So we bent over backwards and put up with all the shenanigans, people holding out. And what did we get? We got a big payroll. We got a bunch of people that are out of shape who ended up getting injured in the season. And so after all that, where were we? We were watching other people play in the playoffs, right? And I think the only silver lining to this whole situation is this. I think the fans are fed up. I was in the stadium when Debo got booed after he dropped that ball, yep, complaining he wasn't getting enough target.
Yep.
And everything shifted that moment. So I'm just telling you right now, the leadership. By the way, I want to go back to the drama we had before with Jed York and his hands on the team and how that just blew up. As soon as they stopped that, the team got back on track. We need to get back on track, and we need to sit down with these players and their agents and say, you want to cut a deal? Let's go in the room and cut a deal. But you're going to be in the preseason, you're going to practice, and you're going to show up. And if you don't like those terms, there's a bunch of other teams that will take your shenanigans, right? And I think the fans will have their backs. The fans are fed up with being put through all that shenanigans and then end up not even being able to go to a playoff game.
Yeah, hey, Daniel, I think it's a great call. Thank you very much for listening and for checking in. I really do. I think that there's a vibe to that. I mean, the way we talk about it on the radio, it's probably not that firm. I don't think they speak to agents the way we speak to a child. Right. But
look, agent.
Yeah, like, this is what we're doing, and if you don't like it, you can go play for the Saints. I do think, though, there's something to what Daniel's saying. Again, the messaging I hear, we went 6-11 after a year, if not two, where we were out here just handing out money to everybody because we all just think you're the bee's knees and we think we can win it all. And then you go 6-11, and I think Lynch and Shanahan and Parag and others got together and they're like, we need to take this team back. This is our team. This is our team. We run it, and we need to take it back. And so if that means that somebody who is right at the front of the boombox has to go,
yep,
then somebody at the front of the boombox has to go.
If you have to eat $30 million as a result, then you eat it.
Eat $30 million.
That's the way it goes. And if you have to give your quarterback, if you have to battle your quarterback to get that number down to where you're more comfortable, you can do that because he's only making $1 million. So if you offer him 55, he probably takes it.
Probably.
If you give him the Jordan Love deal and we can get into side.
I think so.
I think he takes the Jordan Love deal if you give it to him right now.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More to discuss there, and your phone call certainly welcome, 888-957-9570. Also, Joe Lacob with a banger on the TK show that we want to play for you with regard to his goals over the next 15 years. We'll play that for you, and Andrew Bogut is going to join us in 20 minutes on Willard and Dibbs.